Have you seen the covers of Time magazine and Newsweek magazine? Has the world gone entirely mad? Do you need a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity? Well, you are in the right place.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to do my best today, friends, to help give you a solid biblical foundation, a solid spiritual perspective, to help you look at what is happening in the world and society today and not look at it through a political lens and not look at it through a primarily social lens, but look at it through a spiritual gospel lens. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. We are going to have a great day by God's grace and a great week on The Line of Fire. I am charged and ready. I've been waiting for today to happen so we can get going. Now, if you want to weigh in, if you absolutely disagree with me and just hearing my sweet voice gets your blood boiling, or if you find it soothing and faith-building, either way, I'd love to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Happy Mother's Day, one day late, to all the moms listening, in particular to my dear mom on Long Island. Yes, I called and wished Happy Mother's Day yesterday morning at 9 on our way to a combined fire church and service combined with our Fire School of Ministry graduation, as we graduated a new class and heard the vision and dream that is in their hearts. But there's a lot of wild stuff to talk about. I had some amazing interaction with someone on Facebook over the weekend. Just amazing. I want to share it with you because I think it's symptomatic of what's happening in the church world. I got some encouragement for you as well. But as always, I want to get your holy blood boiling in a positive way. I want to get you thinking about the issues. And we'll just start with these magazine covers. Time magazine. I wonder if this was to get controversial discussions going so as to sell more magazines. I wonder if that was the motivation. Time magazine has a woman. If you didn't see the cover, to me it's utterly inappropriate as a cover of Time magazine for a couple of reasons. Here's a woman in tight jeans and the shirt partially opened, breast exposed, and she's nursing a big kid. It's like 3 years old, nursing him. If you're nursing, you cover up. Plenty of women nurse babies. People are used to that being in public in different settings, but you cover up. So there was something just wrong about it for that reason. Could you imagine a cover like that a generation ago? Of course not. And then there are other issues with the kid as the kid gets older and all those other things. Put that aside. That's the cover of Time magazine. Then the cover of Newsweek pronounces President Obama the first gay president, and he's got a rainbow halo over his head. You might have thought, what world are we living in? What planet is this? What in the world is going on? I want to give you a spiritual perspective. I want to help put things in context for you so that when you're sorting this through, let me say this again, you're not looking at this from a political point of view. Democrat versus Republican versus this party or that party or this candidate versus that candidate. You're not just looking things at in a social level. What is Time thinking? What is Newsweek thinking? But you're thinking about this spiritually. We come back. I want to share some good news with you, but I'm going to start by giving you a spiritual perspective. We are in this world, but not of it. There is a spiritual battle. Friends, this is ultimately light versus darkness.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, look at this. I guess New Yorker magazine can't stay far behind. I was just sent a link for their new cover, which has the pillars in front of the White House in rainbow colors. Cover story, Obama's gay marriage announcement. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. A question for you, and then I want to give you some perspective. Did you see the covers? Cover of Time magazine. Moms out there, dads out there, single folks out there. Did you see the cover? What'd you think of it? Does it strike you as profane or wrong? Does it strike you as in any way pornographic? Is it just people with wrong motivation looking at it wrongly? Did you see the cover? So just curious to know what you thought about it. Did you see it in a grocery store? Do they have it out? Is the magazine out yet? Is it just released online? If it's out, are stores actually carrying that, putting it out? Just curious if you've seen it. 866-34-TRUTH, wondering what your reaction might be, as well as the Newsweek cover pronouncing Mr. Obama as, quote, the first gay president. Let me give you a perspective here. Those of you who still hear me in political terms, I want to make this clear. Have you heard me promoting Mr. Romney? Have you heard me praising Mitt Romney? Have you heard me pointing to Mitt Romney or the Republican Party as the saviors? You have not. You've heard me say that I'm evaluating and looking at things and that I have concerns about Governor Romney. You've heard me say that. So everything I'm saying has nothing to do with Republican Democrat, has nothing to do with race, ethnicity, has to do with spiritual issues. Now take notice of this. There were gay activists who were telling the president plainly that they were not giving, that they were not getting behind him, that they were not enthusiastically throwing themselves into the fight because they were not satisfied with some stance he had taken. I was given information on a radio interview I was doing earlier today on another broadcast that one of the key people with Will and Grace, the famous sitcom, TV sitcom that helped promote and normalize homosexual practice in America, that the line used by Joe Biden, by Vice President Biden, saying, hey, Will and Grace has done more to educate or change American thinking than just about anything, that was actually tried out and used a couple weeks earlier to see how it would play. So when President Obama seemed to drag his feet and not come out plainly saying he wanted to see same-sex marriage legalized, there were gay activists saying, we're not going to give, we're not going to get behind you. Now, lo and behold, he makes this announcement on Wednesday and has this massively lucrative fundraiser with who, George Clooney and other Hollywood elite. Does he not? He's raking in massive amounts of money now from these cultural elites, from the Hollywood establishment, from the gay activist establishment. Now, I understand politicians are politicians. I understand that a conservative politician making a strong Bible-based statement could suddenly energize that base and get lots of donations. I understand how this works. I just want to ask you, when you see this happen, when you see, for example, the Hollywood elites, the George Clooneys and these others, who by and large absolutely stand against the fundamental moral family biblical values that we hold to, when you see them rallying together around the president on the stand, what do you recognize? Again, I'm not looking at this politically. I'm looking at this spiritually. What you see is a spiritual conflict. What you see is the spirit of the world versus the spirit of truth, the spirit of God. What you see is a conflict that is ultimately spiritual. There is the flesh versus the spirit. Now, it's so important for us to remember that because that's where our battle is, friends. Yes, we'll vote. Yes, we'll take stands for different things. Yes, we'll be involved as part of what we do. But for me, that's way, way, way down the list. And the reason I talk about things is not to get us energized to vote in the presidential election 6 months down the line. I urge everyone in North Carolina to vote for the marriage amendment because to me, that was a righteousness issue. But we've just got to recognize where the battle is and not be surprised. And if if we're looking at this from a spiritual standpoint, we'll see plenty of the world in the Republican Party too. So please hear me again. This is not a Republican-Democrat issue. It is not a political issue. It is not a matter of a specific candidate. Unless there was a real champion candidate raised up who was living righteously and who was declaring the counsel of God and who said, look, we need a moral reformation in America. And if you're voting for me, you're voting for me to lead the charge. And it was some God-raised up prophetic person to do it, which that's never happened in my lifetime. I've never seen that happen in my lifetime. And has it happened in American history? Perhaps at key points, we could point to that. But that's what we're dealing with. So we see the Time magazine cover and the Newsweek cover, and then the onslaught of pornography, that the average age, from what I've read, that a kid first encounters pornography online is 11 years old. And we see moral deterioration coming from every different angle, from 100 different fronts. It's all the same source. Are you saying there's a conspiracy? Yeah, it's satanic conspiracy. It's a devil who hates the human race. That's the conspiracy. And let me say this. He wants to destroy Republicans, and he wants to destroy Democrats, and he wants to destroy atheists, and he wants to destroy believers, and he wants to destroy homosexuals, and he wants to destroy heterosexuals because he hates the human race. The human race is committed and created in God's image, and if he can attack the human race, he attacks God. We need to fight this spiritually. We need to be first and foremost praying and taking hold of God and searching our own hearts. We need to make sure that our lives are right and straight so that God can work through us and through us can touch a sinning, dying world. We need to think with biblical clarity. That's why one of our roles here on the Line of Fire broadcast is to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. There was a post on my Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page, actually a message sent in talking about some of the things happening in society. I'm going to go to the phones in a moment. And this is Lewis. He said, in my personal opinion, this scares me. I'm in the process of reading A Queer Thing Happened to America, and even my girlfriend, who's very liberal, is starting to get concerned with where this is all going. She was called stupid and childish from one of her close friends in light of Argentina giving rights to transgender folks to get insurance coverage for sex change operations. And she's called stupid and childish by her close friends just because she questioned whether it was a good idea for the government to endorse a disorder rather than working towards helping them get psychological help. She was shocked, Lewis says, that someone called me a bigot, meaning him, because I posted online that marriage is a man and woman union. What has this world come to? It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. That's what we have to recognize. It's the same on 100 different fronts. If you're a follower of Jesus, when you see aggressive atheism, if you see encroaching Islam, if you see kids having sex out of wedlock, if you see increase in violence in movies, if you see gay activism trying to indoctrinate your kids, you see all the same thing. It is part of a larger spiritual battle. And people are not our enemies. It's a spiritual battle we're fighting. All right, I didn't share the wild Facebook exchange I had. I'll share that in a bit. But first, let me go to the phones, and then I want to give you some encouraging news that will build your faith. Martin in Laurel, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Well, I was calling to chime in on the Time magazine.
Yes.
You see, the first time when I saw the picture, what came into my mind as a mother feeding a three-year-old child, and in a social, you know, view or standpoint, I don't really see anything wrong with that, because that same Time magazine has carried pictures of African mothers in the desert with, you know, almost, let me say, half naked with all of the upper parts out.
On the front cover? Front cover of the magazine?
Well, not on the front cover, but, you know, stories that I've had to do with, you know, slave trade or, you know, lifestyle in Africa, mm-hmm. carrying women who also have their breasts outside. And
the reason I mentioned the cover, though, Martin, just to make a distinction, is because this could be out in grocery stores and you know, just regular shopping stores and things like that, so that any kid, parent walking through there, So in your mind, as a grown man looking at that, that's not exposing something. And if someone was, say, on a bus nursing a kid like that, wide out in the open, nobody would think that was strange?
Well, it's what you see. The Bible says if your eye is a light of your body. Mm-hmm. And if your eye is good, then therefore there is light in your body. But if your eye is bad, then there's darkness in your body. So it's what my eye saw. What my eye saw was not a pornographic picture. What my eye saw was not exposure. What my eye saw was just a mom showing that, you know, I still fit my kid at this age. So I just think it's what the eye sees.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks for weighing in. I understand the principle of Titus 1:15, to the pure, all things are pure. What do the rest of you think? We'll talk about it.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you happen to see the recent cover of Time magazine, or on another front, saw the announced cover of Newsweek announcing President Obama as the first gay president because of his gay activism, give me a call. Curious to know how these things struck you. 866-348-7884. Second hour today, which you can listen to online if you don't get live on your radio stations. Second hour today, I'm going to be talking about, this idea that you've got these backwoods bigots who are voting and influencing the direction of the country. And really, it should just be kind of the cultural elites that dictate the way things go. I have an article on townhall.com called The Embarrassed Elites of North Carolina. I think you'll find it very interesting. But let's just play clip number three. This is a preview of something coming later today. This is from a phone call I got from a young lady named Sophie last week. She was so embarrassed with the vote for the marriage amendment in North Carolina. She lives in North Carolina. She goes to a university there. She was so pleased that in her city, in her county, the people voted against the amendment. And this is what she had to say.
Well, this just shows the downfall of direct democracy. I mean, sometimes I think that some things really should be left to the people who understand the consequences of the law. And I think a lot of political, almost every person who's high up in the North Carolina government has voiced their thoughts against this amendment, including the former Democrat and Republican mayor of Charlotte.
So, Sophie, I think you got it now. We just need the smart people, the educated people who think like you, to take control and to weed out these bigoted backwoods Bible preachers like me, and America will be a better place. Why don't you just say it? Why don't you just say it?
You're putting words in my mouth.
Well, those are the words you just... Okay, then say it.
I think that if people understood the consequences of the amendment...
But we do. So, Sophie, we do. We do. That's why we voted for it overwhelmingly, because we do understand. All right. So this idea that there's a certain group of people, they should be the ones controlling things and voting. And if they had control, then everything would be much, much better. That's the breakdown of democracy, that everybody gets to vote, including the stupid people like you and me, who actually believe in God and believe in biblical values, and that helps influence the way that we vote. Let me grab a couple more calls, and then I want to go on with a few other matters. But let me reiterate this one more time. From God's perspective, he looks at the world in terms of light and darkness. I'm talking spiritually. He looks at this world in terms of God's people and people of Satan. That's how he looks at it. 1 John 5:19. We know we're of God, little children, and the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. We go from Satan's kingdom into God's kingdom. That's what happens when we get born again, when we become followers of Jesus. And when God looks at the world, he looks at those who are Jesus' sheep and those who are not, those who are of him and those who are not. The ones who are not may be atheists. They may be church-going hypocrites. They may be Muslims. They may be Democrats, they may be Republicans, they may be conservatives, they may be liberals. We need to get God's perspective and primarily see things divided on those lines. And all of the other divisions should be secondary to that. You follow what I'm saying? That should be our primary orientation, not racial divisions, not political divisions, not demographic divisions of rich and poor as our primary way of sorting things out, but the people of God versus the people of the world, the spirit of God versus the spirit of the world. When we see it through those eyes, then we can wholeheartedly do what we need to do without making it primarily a political or social battle. 866-34-TRUTH. Eileen in Coram on Long Island, what was your take?
Yeah, I saw the picture, and I was really kind of disheartened by it because, you know, there are plenty of mothers that continue to breastfeed their children to older ages. There are serious health issues that children suffer from, emotional issues where they find it very comforting to breastfeed their children to sleep at later ages. It's been done for centuries. And here is this article saying that people are making a stand that, you know, try to bring to light the importance of, you know, not cutting your child off from a natural, function mm-hmm. of a mother. And instead, Time Magazine takes this opportunity to put it out there as if it were, sexualizing it. So their own article wasn't sexualizing just the picture.
The cover.
Just the cover. So it's almost like a slap in the face to the people that, continuing on with breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm.
My sister breastfed her child to an older age because she suffered from severe allergies,
right,
and she wasn't able to take regular milk, and there were other issues, where this is extremely helpful for children who may have leukemia or other, medical conditions, and it's very healthy for them, and it's very comforting.
All right, well,
just vicious, I thought. I thought it was actually horrible.
Very good. Well, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. I wanted to get it from a woman and mother's perspective. Thank you, Eileen. Let me grab one more call on this. Chris in Long Beach, right next to where I grew up on Long Island. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thanks.
Number one, thank you for the show. And about 11 years ago, I had that tape, Aharit. I came across it at Pure Life Ministries. And I was wondering if you had that on CD.
Sure do. Hey, tell you what, Chris, stay right there. I want to talk to you on the other side of the break, and I'll tell you how you can actually listen to that online. This was the most important message probably I preached in my life on the final consequences of sin and righteousness, called Acharit, based on one Hebrew word. Folks can listen to it free online or get a CD. So, Chris, stay right there. Then we'll get your take on Time Magazine. Good news, I'll share more with you later in the broadcast. Here is a CBN story reported yesterday. Abortion groups alarmed at growing pro-life support. Pro-life group seated Nancy Keenan, leader of the nation's largest pro-choice organization, announced this week that she's stepping down amid concerns of a lack of abortion support among young voters. Friends, just as the tide is turning with young people and pro-life issues, they're on the opposite side, by and large, on issues having to do with homosexuality. The tide can also turn with young people on that issue as well. Do not be discouraged. This is ultimately a spiritual battle, and Jesus is Lord. All right, I think you recognize the importance of the work we have been doing. My book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, has never been more relevant. We've put together a special package, for just $30 postage paid, you'll get the 700-page hardcover version of A Queer Thing Happened to America, which some have said is the hinge that could turn the cultural history that we're coming into. Some have actually said that. With it, we'll give you two copies of the 64-page mini book, A Stealth Agenda, that you can give out to your friends. $30 postage paid. It's a great resource deal. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978, or go right online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. Has the world gone mad? Well, the world's always been mad. The world's always been crazy. That's the story of the human race. That's the story of what's recorded in the Bible. You know, you read a lot of stuff in the Bible. It's like, oh, this is not good stuff. And there's people killing each other and this one rising up to power. And then no sooner they rise up to power, they're corrupt. And then God delivers Israel and they pray. And then they go right back to their idolatry and their morality and their injustice. And then things get messed up. And then they pray and he helps. And they go right back. And that's the story of the human race. And then we know what's right. We don't do it. We condemn others for doing what we do, thereby exposing our own sin and hypocrisy. That's why we need a Savior. Hint. You ready? Here's a hint. The Savior is not Democratic or Republican or Tea Party or Libertarian. The Savior is Jesus. And if we put our trust in a party or a person the way we're supposed to put our trust in Jesus, we will always be disappointed and we will always be divided. If we put our trust in God and live for Him and recognize that the ultimate solution to the problems of the human race is found in Jesus and in Jesus' people living out His commands and emulating Him in this world by the life and power of the Spirit, then we do the other things in a secondary or tertiary way. Then we vote, then we do this, then we do that. But our emphasis is spiritual. That's where the great battle is. And as we saw the tremendous response to President Obama's terrible announcement saying that he wants to legalize same-sex marriage, of course, it's no surprise in terms of where he has clearly stood for years and what his actions have demonstrated. But in fact, it rallies now the Hollywood elite and these other worldly people, and it rallies the gay activists, and now they're going to support him. Oh, okay, what does it show us? It's the world. It's the world. And the world transcends party lines, just as the Spirit of God transcends party lines. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, Chris in Long Beach, back to you. Yeah, my Acharit message, I appreciate that, Chris. You can listen to it free online on my website, askdrbrown.org. If you just click on the free resources and look in the messages, probably listed under Revival. It's free there, and it can be downloaded, or you can also write to us and get it, order it on a CD. What impact did it have on you when you listened to it years back, Chris?
It scared me, honestly, because, you know, I was at Pure Life. I was there because of I had an issue with pornography. And, you know, if I could have saw the end result of my sin, I probably would have never got involved in half the things I got involved in.
Yeah.
And that message just stays with you. It's just something that scares you, you know. But yeah,
it's
truth.
It's biblical truth. It's not my message. It's biblical truth. And really, you
Absolutely.
Summed it up in a nutshell. If we could see the end result of our actions, our wrong actions, we'd never do the things we did. All right, so Chris, you came out of pornography, addictions, issues with that. What's your take on seeing this Time magazine cover? This is not the cover of Playboy or Penthouse or whatever trash magazine is out there these days. This is supposedly just a news magazine. What's your take on it?
I mean, it was the way they shot the picture. You know, I'm not for pornography in any kind of sense, but
right.
What got to me was, like the news says, next on at 6, Time Magazine, shocking photo cover.
Yep.
Why wasn't the media like that when New York voted for same-sex marriage?
Oh, no, that's positive, Chris. That's a step forward. That's a good thing, you see. That's an advancement. But of course you're right, Chris. Of course you're totally right.
It was just like, why wasn't anybody up in arms about that? I mean, lots of us contacted our congressmen and senators to help them to say no, but I guess we lost out.
Yeah, and Chris, of course Democrats voted for it overwhelmingly in New York State, but 4 Republicans caved in. And that's why it happened. 4 Republicans caved in. But Chris, why the difference? Because it's the spirit of the world versus the spirit of God. That's the whole thing. It's a spiritual battle. Thank you, sir, for the call.
Change
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, are you ready for revelation here? Are you ready for a revelation? I do not look to Fox News for righteousness. I don't watch much news at all. Basically, I get things online by reading, and I can get that much more quickly, and I get lots of links sent to me, and then I'll be researching things. So that's how I get things. And then occasionally we'll watch a video where we'll be going over things. And I'm sure there's some good things on Fox News and some good people on Fox, but I am not looking to Fox as a standard of righteousness, nor am I looking to leading conservative talk show hosts on the radio, because there's in many cases a mingling of the spirit of the world. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. So when our last caller is wondering why the media reacts one way to one thing and another way to another thing, well, many media leaders do not share our views. An astonishingly high number of TV anchors, this was a survey done years ago, and leading newspeople, an astonishingly high number were radically pro-abortion in their thinking and strongly pro-gay activists. And way, 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 way out of sync with the vast majority of America in terms of where their views were at. And then, of course, there are others working with them in the news that are putting these things together that see things the same way. So if I had a news station, we'd do our best to present things factually, but certainly you'd get my bias, wouldn't you? You get my perspective. We'd present things factually and try to present what needed to be presented, but certainly you get my perspective. Well, I'm not looking to Fox News for the standard of righteousness. I'm not looking to the larger conservative movement, or certainly not to a party. No, I will absolutely not vote for the president for many reasons, unless there's massive repentance and change on his behalf. Of course I won't. But I'm not putting my trust in a party. I'm putting my trust in the kingdom of God. There is a different mentality. I want to emphasize that as clearly as I can. So I made reference to the story earlier. Reported on CBN News Washington by Paul Strand. Nancy Keenan, leader of the nation's largest pro-choice organization, announced this week that she's stepping down amid concerns of a lack of abortion support among young voters. Pro-life groups see the decision as proof of a growing revolution against abortion in America. Friends, it wasn't always like that. Young people were absolutely pro-abortion in staggering numbers, and it was the older generation that had a different view, and things have shifted in terms of the younger generation. That gives me hope, even looking at things in the natural, in terms of a shift in the younger generation with regard to their attitude on sexual purity, their attitude on the sanctity of marriage, and other things as well. According to Chuck Donovan, president of the pro-life Susan B. Anthony List Education Fund, the actual abortions babies losing their lives will probably decrease in this generation. He added that Americans can expect to see more activism as young people mobilize, and I hope to see that will be both political and that will occur in the medical field, Donovan said. It will occur among young people who counsel each other when they get into situations where they might contemplate abortion. I think it's just radically optimistic. That's good news for the pro-life movement, but not for pro-choice groups like the National Abortion Rights Action League, for us, the notorious NARAL. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. We need a revolution, friends. We need a moral and cultural revolution that is spiritually based. We need something radical and supernatural and maybe even unprecedented in our history to happen in the Church of America that will change us to the point that society is impacted. What I find so amazing is that the moment a conservative leader quotes scripture or stands up for, say, marriage amendment or something like that and uses the Bible, there's an outcry, separation of church and state. Of course, that's not what it means at all. But there's this outcry, separation of church and state. But then when the president points to the Bible for his beliefs, as if Christ sacrificing himself on the cross, to reference the president's comments, as if Christ sacrificing himself, it legitimizes same-sex marriage or two men having sex? What are you talking about? Where's the connection? But he does. Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, refers to her Catholic faith. Because of her Catholic faith, she wants to see same-sex marriage legalized. And that's fine. No one's yelling separation of church and state when they do it. But when a conservative does it, separation of church and state, it's outrageous. Have you noticed that? Why? Spirit of the world versus spirit of God. Two different spiritual mindsets. 866-34-TRUTH. Tom in Walton Township, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Michael, how are you?
I'm doing very well. How about you?
Very good. Hey, you know, one of the things that have really, like, burdened my heart is it's just the lack of spiritual brokenness of the church.
Yeah.
What happened in Matthew 5:28-5:29, where, you know, we look at these magazines, I take my kids into a shop, right, and I'm appalled walking through the line and just seeing these magazine covers as a dad. And I was saved in 2003 coming out of, an addiction to pornography. And Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. What happened to the church taking a radical, trembling stance? You know, I recall, I don't know where the verse is, maybe you do in Ezekiel, where God says, mark the heads of all them who mourned over the abominations of my people.
Yeah, Ezekiel chapter 9, sir.
Yeah, that's what we're missing, the brokenness over sin. And just to stand against that as a beacon, a light in this dark world. And we're lacking that in the church. And brother,
how is the world going to be ashamed when we can't be ashamed? Leonard Ravenhill raised that issue years ago that we've forgotten how to weep. Tom, how old are your kids?
Mike, I have a 6 and 1 on the way. I have a 16-year-old. I have a 13-year-old, a 9-year-old, and the others are pretty much 4, 3, almost
Got
2,
it.
And my wife is pregnant. A lot
God
of
bless
youngsters.
You.
But,
Tom, did you ever read my book, It's Time to Rock the Boat?
No, I didn't.
All right, tell you what, it's been republished, two books in one. It's Time to Rock the Boat and Whatever Happened to the Power of God. When we get done, you're going to stay on the line. Andrew's going to get your contact info. I want to send it to you as a gift. And when we begin reading It's Time to Rock the Boat, you'll see that what began that burden for me was when we tried to talk to grocery stores in Maryland, the leading food chain, 20-something years ago, about the covers and the exposure and what was there. And it's just, again, as we're saying on the show, it's the spirit of the world. It's the appeal to the flesh. But these things are only the way they are, as you said, because of the failure of the church, because of our lack of purity, because of our lack of brokenness, because of the compromise in our midst. So we need to grieve and mourn before the Lord and ask him for that spirit of brokenness, out of which comes health and healing and transformation. Tom, thank you for the call. It's so wonderful that God's transformed your life. So stay right there, sir. And Andrew's going to get your contact info, and we'll send you that book as a gift. Bob in Orange, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Michael. I looked at that Time magazine thing, and I didn't like it. And I really spent a lot of time trying to understand why I didn't like it. I've come to some conclusions. The way the picture is put together, the woman is rather aggressive, strident. Her stance is aggressive. And the child that she's feeding is a male child, not a female child.
Mm-hmm.
And the child's standing on a chair. And after long consideration, I think there's a very subtle, emasculating image here that is telegraphing a continued diminishing of manhood. Now, I may be wrong, Michael.
Interesting.
But
that's interesting.
If this had been a female child and the mother had been reclining in bed, I don't think it would have really connected so hard. I know there are cultures where older children are breastfed, and I could see that that's an option for parents at different times. But there's something about this strident female with an elevated child that's at a man's level, but he's not a man. So I just throw that out there as an idea.
Hey, there certainly could be something to that, Bob. Thanks for calling and sharing that. I want to be honest. I looked at the cover, and I didn't study it. So Bob, again, thanks for those comments, and that could well be part of it. I looked at it. I said, what in the world? I didn't study the thing carefully, and I just read a little bit about what was going on. But to me, it was meant to be revealing. It was meant to be suggestive. It was meant to convey a shocking image, obviously for the purpose of getting magazine sales. There's a right and a wrong way to do things. And as I remember over the years, as women breastfed, they covered themselves up because there was a certain modesty. It was the opposite that was being shouted from the magazine cover. So it got a glance from me, and that was it. All right, thanks for the insights. We'll hear from a few more of you, and hopefully I can tell you about some wild Facebook exchange I had over the weekend.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, well, one more note to remind you of why we do what we do. How about this? The Law Society, this is from the Telegraph in UK. The Law Society has banned a conference on family issues to be addressed by a senior high court judge because debating gay marriage breached its diversity policy. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? No, of course. Of course. No one's kidding anybody. This is exactly what we can expect. This is the thought police. This is Big Brother is watching, and he really is gay. There can be no other side to the story, and there will be the stifling of public opinion, the stifling of healthy discussion. Gay marriage is still not legal in England. Or you can proclaim everything the opposite side loud and clear. That's fine. That's diversity. But you dare say, let's discuss the issue. No, we cannot in the name of diversity. In a few minutes, I want to let you know about a special resource offer that ties right in with this. I'll have to report more on this next hour. And so I can get to a few more of your calls, I'll tell you about the Facebook interaction. But suffice it to say, a guy starts posting on my Facebook page, completely blasting some of my views and saying you have to leave your stupid religious dogma behind, and refers to my religious bigotry. And I thought, who is this guy? Is a friend on my Facebook page? Who is he? Check on his profile. He plays guitar in a worship band in a church. He doesn't even believe in God. He doesn't believe Jesus existed. Oh, yeah. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Monica in Houston, Texas. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi.
Hello.
I wanted to comment about the magazine with the women breastfeeding. I think there is in the word it says that we need to have eyes to see and ears to hear, and also on the other magazine cover, I think most Christians are sleepwalking, and in that one picture with that woman, I breastfed my children till they were a little older, but there's no humility in that, and I think in that picture, in that specific picture, and I think the enemy is just using those kind of things to distract us from what we really should be doing as believers, and that the law of love never fails, and if we are truly seeking first the kingdom of heaven, mm-hmm. and righteousness and to be holy as he is holy, then part of it is to speak truth and love even when we're persecuted.
That's right.
And continue to do it. Because even in America, we don't have a lot of persecution for our faith as far as dying. But when we do speak out against those things in love and not putting our hope in man, And I hear that from a lot of believers that listen to other talk radio stations, that they're really thinking that getting the right person into public office is going to be the salvation of America. And we're not. This isn't about saving America. This is about dying, learning to die.
Yeah, and Monica, just to jump in, I can't underscore enough my agreement with you on that we push so hard to get a certain person in office. Now, the wrong person can do a lot of damage. I recognize that. The right person can help. But basically, we're still putting Band-Aids on cancer and heart disease is what it comes down to. We are basically dealing with stuff that is spiritual and trying to fix it in the physical, natural, political realm. Yeah. So those things have their place, but absolutely, it's a spiritual battle. So we just have to look at it like that and then recognize, okay, there will be that type of persecution, the opposition, the mockery, the reproach for standing up for what's right. And just like our brothers and sisters are getting thrown in jail or even dying for the gospel in other parts of the world, well, we on our end are going to stand strong in the midst of public reproach and mockery. Hey, Monica, thanks for the call. Absolutely right. Wish I had time to chat more, but I want to grab a few other calls. Mercedes in Brooklyn, we're a little short on time, so please jump right in.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Surely.
I appreciate your raising these issues to the world. However, I would like for us to address those same issues within the church, because the Bible was not written to the world, but rather to the church, so that
yes.
we can go out and be better witnesses. We
yes.
have women with their breasts hanging out in the church.
Uh-huh.
We have women with their panties showing when they go on the platform. I don't think we need to address those outside. They have not been running into church every week and returning tithe and offering. Those are not the ones that Christ calls whitey sepulchers. You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, it's
yes.
my people, okay? And the woman who touched Jesus, that was not an accepted practice. Okay? And definitely, coming to the breastfeeding, if you really are honest, any child who is breastfeeding at whatever age, wherever the mother is, will come and lift that blouse and attempt to breastfeed wherever they are, even standing beside President Obama. The mother has to make a decision. So, you know, for me, talk to me about things I need to straighten up, because I'm the one who's professing to be
yeah.
Christian.
And Mercedes, just to jump in, because we're almost at the end of the show, I bring these issues up in the world to help us to recognize the depravity of the world, but always, I'm 100% with you, Mercedes, the problem begins with us. Different callers have said that, and I've said it. So to repeat, the greatest problem in America today is not so much the presence of darkness, it is the absence of light. And Jesus said in a different context in Matthew 6, if the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So 100% right. There is worldliness in the world because of the immodesty in God's house. In other words, because we are not holy and godly, it opens up the door for even more sin and decadence there. And if the older women are godly and teach the younger women, as Paul lays out in 1 Timothy 4, we'd see a lot of positive change. Mercedes, I wish I could have let you talk more, because I agree with you and I affirm what you are saying. All right. If you're hanging on the phones, stick around. Maybe we can get to your call in the next hour. I encourage everyone to catch the second hour later online. Friends, we need a moral and cultural revolution. It's simple, and it's going to be gospel-based. If you don't yet have a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America, or if you know someone that could use it, certainly you know someone that needs it, be it a political leader, be it your pastor, be it a neighbor, be it a family member, an educator, what we've done is put a special package together. My book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, which sells for, including postage, over $30. You can get the book, postage paid for $30, plus two copies of A Stealth Agenda, the 64-page mini book that condenses four of the key chapters, which means you can put this in someone's hand and say, read this. And I didn't know that was happening in schools. I didn't realize that was happening. Give it to them and their eyes will be open. So call right now to order, and you can order as many copies of the book and the Stealth Agenda with that for each package, $30 postage paid, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, of course the world is sinning. Of course sinners are sinning. Of course wicked people are doing wicked things. There's no surprise there. The surprise comes when we, God's people, do evil, wicked things. Let the repentance begin with us. So did you hear the comments of Governor Perdue of North Carolina? We look like Mississippi. What could be worse than that?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we just have to get into the story, friends. It is going around the country, and it has to do with us right here in little old North Carolina, where I live now with my family and our ministry, based here since 2003. 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH, to get in the conversation. All right. A lot of people are so upset over the marriage amendment passing in North Carolina, and it underscores, reveals an attitude. And the attitude says this: the smart ones, the educated ones, the elite class, they know. They know what to vote for. They had the right take on this. It's those backwoods bigots got things wrong. And if only there were more intelligent parts of North Carolina, the vote would go differently. Did you hear what... I'm sorry, it's very, very serious. But when you hear what Governor Perdue said, if you happen to be listening in Mississippi, I would love to hear from you as well. And you may be listening to this over the weekend. Maybe we could get this played in some Mississippi venues, in particular over the weekend. I would love to hear from you. You can always email me your thoughts. Just go to askdrbrown.org and click on contact. But this was Saturday. The governor of North Carolina, Democratic governor, actually the outgoing governor, will not be running for re-election, as I understand it. She had this to say to a reporter on Saturday about her views as to what happened in North Carolina as the people of our state overwhelmingly passed the marriage amendment.
People around the country are watching us, and they're really confused to have been such a progressive, forward-thinking, economically driven state that invested in education and that stood up for the civil rights of people. Folks are saying, what in the world is going on in North Carolina? We look like Mississippi.
Aside from the nerve and the lack of wisdom, to the gall, how else are you going to put this, to say what she says about another state? We look like Mississippi. You picture the governor of Mississippi saying, we look like North Carolina. We look like, well, I might say we look like California. That would be an insult in Mississippi, I guess. But, I mean, it's a shocker for a governor to say that. That's the first thing. And if you live in North Carolina, what'd you think of that? That was your governor speaking. And tell me if I'm wrong here. Guys, help me. Tell me if I'm wrong here. Joey, Alex, Andrew, tell me if I'm wrong. But if I thought it was the people of North Carolina that elected the governor of North Carolina. Do I have that right, guys? I thought it was the people of North Carolina who elected the governor of North Carolina. And if the smart people elected her. Yeah, but it was 61% that voted for the marriage amendment. That means that some of the people that voted for her, they were smart enough to vote for her, but they were stupid enough to vote for the marriage amendment. Oh, I've got some other quotes from around the country, and I want to replay part of a call from last week. Friends, this is a serious issue. This is pointing to a cultural divide. And basically, I want to tell you something. If you have a view that's influenced by Scripture, if you have a view that's influenced by moral conviction, your view is becoming increasingly unwelcome by many here in the United States of America.
God of light, hear our cry, send God by.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I have been moved to write over the weekend. Just posted an article this morning on townhall.com, The Embarrassed Elites of North Carolina. Yes, according to Governor Beverly Perdue, we look like Mississippi. Talk about backwoods, bigoted, backwards people. Talk about Bible quoting people who are out of touch with the times. Talk about being on the wrong side of history. That's Mississippi. And that's what she's saying. So I wrote the article, The Embarrassed Elites of North Carolina. Over the weekend, an article went up also on Town Hall about our president's either equivocating or evolving views on same-sex marriage. I'm very slow to write things that are directly critical of the president, but in this case, I felt clearly compelled to do so. I wrote an article just for our own blog called Shame on the Charlotte Observer over their shameful editorial that came out right after the marriage amendment was passed. And again, these things are being talked about nationally. The Democratic National Convention is coming to Charlotte in September. So there are thousands, maybe tens of thousands by now, signing saying pull the convention out, which I understand is not going to happen, too late to happen, but not North Carolina. 866-34-TRUTH. The first hour, I really sought to underscore to our dear listening family that this is ultimately a spiritual issue, not a political issue, not a cultural issue, not a social issue. So I don't divide the world between Democrats and Republicans. I don't divide the world between conservatives and liberals. I certainly don't divide the world based on Americans and non-Americans, or based on one ethnicity versus another ethnicity, or one skin color versus another skin color. I don't think like that. I don't relate like that. But I do divide the world spiritually in terms of the people of God and those who are not the people of God, or at least not yet the people of God, between light and darkness. I remember someone calling in the broadcast, oh, it could be like 4 years ago. It was pretty early on with us being on every day. And this fellow said that when he came to faith, he had a lot of junk in his life that he knew was wrong. And many of us are like that. We know, for example, stealing is wrong. We get saved. Or we know committing adultery is wrong. We get saved. Or we know drug use is wrong. We get saved. So we get saved. We get rid of those things. But there are a thousand other issues that come up in life. Following Jesus is not just a matter of getting rid of a few really bad sins. So he wasn't sure, should he watch this movie? Should he be entertained by this? Should he go to this place? Should he do these things? So he got some counsel on it, and what he worked out was this. He asked the question, is this light or is this darkness? Now, I understand certain things can be perfectly neutral, that in and of themselves are not light or darkness. But in terms of many of the moral decisions we make, many of the social cultural decisions we make, it's a simple question. Is this light or is this darkness? And if we live based on that, I think our lives would be radically different, radically changed. 866-34-TRUTH. So from North Carolina, Change.org had a petition calling for the Democratic National Convention to be pulled from Charlotte. This is a national move to get it pulled from Charlotte. And there are some comments it elicited like this. As an LGBT Democrat married in Iowa, I wouldn't set foot in North Carolina. And this, move the convention out of North Carolina. Don't spend any monies in this retrograde state. Yeah, we're upholding what every other state is upholding, and the only thing human history's ever known and what we're convicted of is the biblical way. Yeah, we're upholding marriage as the union of a man and woman. Bigoted, intolerant hypocrites. How dare they, Bible-bashing bigots, backwoods, backwards people. That's what's being said. Oh, how about Roseanne Barr? Got to pray for Roseanne Barr. Think of what an evangelist she could be if she got saved. What a soul winner. Roseanne Barr, always good for an insightful quote, urged movie studios to, quote, withdraw your productions from North Carolina. Now, my memory may be wrong on this, but I thought that Hollywood was located in California, isn't it? And didn't California twice pass marriage amendments? how come she's not calling for everyone to withdraw their productions from California? Seems a little inconsistent, doesn't it? How about this? Liberal websites like the Daily Kos report it. The bigots win. North Carolina passes Amendment 1. Do you understand why it is so important, friends, that these things are codified in law properly? Because if the opposite is codified in law, it has happened most recently in New York State, shamefully, my home state. We live in North Carolina now since 2003. This has been our home since, but I'm a New Yorker originally, most of my life spent there. Do you realize that once you codify this, the New York State redefines marriage, that you are now codified as a bigot because you are not accepting what the law states if you do not accept and endorse and embrace and celebrate same-sex marriage? How about this? Queerty.com. It's a sad day in North Carolina. Actually, make that the entire United States. Oh, how about this? Clay Aiken, American Idol Clay Aiken, he hails from North Carolina, doesn't live here now, but hails from here. Quote, in general, we have always been a state that takes responsible steps, and this is an example, the only example in my lifetime, of the state taking a very irresponsible step. Actress Evan Rachel Wood, who also hails from North Carolina, this is what she tweeted. Just bent over on set and cried over this outcome. I hope my children see a more peaceful and tolerant world. Oh, Evan Rachel, let me assure you that if gay activism wins the day, that you'll see such a wonderfully tolerant world that no other viewpoints will be accepted. And as just happened, I started sharing this story in the first hour. Sir Paul Coleridge, the family division judge who recently launched a new charity to combat marital breakup, had been lined up as the main speaker at the annual event of the Law Society's London headquarters later this month. But organizers were forced to cancel it at short notice after the Law Society ruled that the program reflected an ethos which is opposed to same-sex marriage. I can hardly get these words out. I can hardly get these words out, friends. The Law Society of London has banned a conference on family issues to be addressed by a senior high court judge because debating gay marriage breached its diversity policy. This is mind-boggling. This is absolute censorship. And this is in England. This is in a country that still, for the moment, has not redefined marriage. Yet to have a conference where you're not going to affirm same-sex marriage, debate legal issues with a senior high court judge, the diversity council or the diversity policy forces it to be canceled. Oh, yeah. To Evan Rachel Wood, whom I don't know, not familiar with. I hope, she says, my children see a more peaceful and tolerant world. Yeah, gay activist wins the day. Gay activism wins the day. That'll be a very tolerant world. Sarcasm fully intended. How about this? I mentioned the Charlotte Observer last week. Within moments of the amendment passing, they said same-sex marriage amendment vote is just wrong. They said North Carolina foolishly and shamefully joined 30 states with constitutional bans on same-sex marriages. Foolishly and shamefully. All these other foolish, shameful states, too. The Observer called the amendment misguided, claimed that it unwisely writes discrimination into the state constitution, argued that the state is on the wrong side of history on this matter, and closed by stating the voting result doesn't show love. It's wrong and disgraceful. Three times in an editorial of less than 500 words, they called our actions wrong, foolish, and then foolish, shameful, unwise, discriminatory, not showing love, disgraceful. The editors were disappointed. Asheville, North Carolina, columnist John Boyle wrote, as much as I hate to say this, I'm ashamed of my state right now. He predicted the day would come when we'll look back at this legalized intolerance and wonder why were people so bigoted then. Do you understand what's happened, friends, in front of our eyes? That while the vast majority of American states that have voted on this, now it's 31 throughout our country, and 31 out of 31 that have voted on this, have universally said, yes, marriage is the union of a man and woman. It's the only thing we've known for 6,000 years of recorded history until the last decade plus in just a handful of locations, a handful of countries, and a handful of states. It's the most fundamental institution in the human race. There's been homosexual activism for many, many years. There have been homosexual relations in different generations, different societies, but no one redefined marriage or tried to. Now, when we simply say, yeah, we're not willing to change it, we're really not willing to change what's so fundamental, you know, male, female, bride, groom, husband, wife, we think that's kind of important. We think kids deserve a mom and a dad, and we're not willing to change that. That is now considered legalized intolerance and bigotry? Do we need to wake up or what? Do we need an awakening, friends? I believe an awakening is at hand. Little drops. People starting to realize, oh, my God, we need a revival. We need a moral culture revolution. Can I tell you, friends, that's why I'm on the air 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, joyfully. That's why we're here. God will hear our cries, friends.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go to the phones, I was doing radio interview earlier today. I did a couple this morning, and a lot of people wanted to talk about issues having to do with gay activism in light of the president coming out, saying that he wants to legalize same-sex marriage. Really, it's been his position since 1996, recorded, but then there has been waffling on it for me, as far as I can see, for political purposes. But the fact is, there's a lot of talk now, more and more people looking at these things. And of course, my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, came out last year. Many of you have gotten that. We now have a 64-page abridged edition in paperback, which takes some of the key chapters for the key chapters and puts them all out. And in fact, you can get the book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and two copies of the abridged edition called The Stealth Agenda for a reduced price. I'll tell you about that more in a moment. It's a special resource offer this week. But I told one of the fellows I was on the air with in another program, I said, I feel like somebody selling hurricane insurance. And people have been telling me, we don't get hurricanes in this part of the country. We don't need hurricane insurance. I'm like, listen, I've researched this thing, and I'm telling you, you're going to get hit with a lot of hurricanes this year. No. We don't have hurricanes here. That's not a problem. We lived here for the weather forecasters are saying you can have a lot of hurricanes. If you have this hurricane insurance, it could save you tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. And now a year later, after going through 8 hurricanes, they're willing to buy my hurricane insurance. You follow what I'm saying. This issue is unavoidable. These issues are coming up. And I'm telling you, there is a fundamental cultural divide, the mentality being not that wholesome, moral people with good values and who value family and who recognize the difference between male and female and who recognize that moms and dads are important and that God never intended, I now pronounce you husband and husband or bride and bride, or as one couple had it, bride and broom. Oh, yeah, this is progress. This is enlightenment. No, we're not wholesome. We're not family values. We're not biblically based. No. You know who we are? We are bigots. Backwards. Bigots is who we are in the eyes of the world and society. That's why Governor Perdue says we look like Mississippi. Let me just read a drop more of her quote, and then we'll go to the phones. I'm going to replay part of a call from last week. I actually ran into a gentleman at our fire church service here right outside of Charlotte on Sunday morning. We had a graduation from our ministry school in the midst of our service. And a gentleman came up to me on the way out with his wonderful family and tells me, listens regularly, made reference to this phone call. So, sir, if you're listening, glad to have you. I remember your smiling face in the parking lot there Sunday morning. Governor Perdue said this: people around the country are watching us, and they're really confused. To have been such a progressive, forward-thinking, economically-driven state that invested in education, that stood up for the civil rights of people, including the civil rights marches back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, how in the world could we be standing for marriage? Now, I mean, that's actually what she's saying, because everybody who really knows. I mean, the smart ones, the educated ones, the elite ones, they really know that man plus man is just the same as man plus woman. they really know that that romantic attraction and sexual behavior is the same as skin color. They really know it. These just ignorant people, and so many of them in North Carolina. Unfortunately, they don't go to university. They don't live in the university city, because then they would have gotten this right. That's what we're being told. 866-34-TRUTH. Bob in Southern Illinois, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, I just wanted to bring up actually two facts I was thinking about. One was the first one. You know, all this homosexuality, you know, we've been talking about the past couple days, I think really wasn't brought on by Will and Grace right off the bat. I think it was more or less brought on by all these home improvement shows, you know, on this HGTV or whatever, if I could say that over here, don't know. But, you know, all the sexuality came out. Well, you know, if I don't deal with, you know, a gay person like this, you know, my project's going to be messed up. So I'm going to go over here and look for a gay person. I don't really don't care what kind of experience they have or anything, but as long as they're gay, you know, I'm going to deal with them.
Yeah, and Bob, yeah, just to jump in before you get to your second comment, Vice President Biden made reference to Will and Grace has done more to educate America on these issues than just about anyone. And I was told on a radio interview I was on earlier that one of the producers or main people involved with Will and Grace said, yeah, they tested out that line a couple weeks earlier to see how it would play. In other words, this was a planned statement, not just some gaffe by the vice president. But the fact is, Will and Grace was very influential and widely watched. But you're right. I've been told about how pervasive these other things are. Just, you know, it's a home improvement thing, and you've got different gay couples and all this disproportionate representation to basically say, hey, we're here, we're everywhere, and we're the nicest, sweetest people you'll ever find, and anyone who does not want to see us married is a bigot. So it's quite pervasive. In my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, I have a whole chapter on that, on Hollywood's celebration of queer. But your second point, Bob, go ahead.
Well, also, too, Mike, remember when right after 2/11 happened, went outside, and you know how everybody's saying, you know, America's headed for the cliffs, you know, whatnot like that. We better slam the car into the side of the road or, you know, jump out of the car or whatnot. But if everybody can get back to thinking after 9/11, we went outside, okay, and we looked up, and you know what? We didn't see anything that we missed. And that was the airplanes in the air. Everything was all quiet and everything like that. Well,
yeah.
Things are going the same way that they're going now. We're going to be heading right back for that exact same thing, but it's not going to be terrorism. Like, it's going to be us that caused the silence in the air.
Yeah, you know, the fact is moral deterioration is happening in our culture on so many fronts because we, God's people, are not living things out as we need to. And as we live things out righteously, all hell will break loose against us. There's going to be a severe battle, and we will be maligned and feel pressure we've never felt. But if we'll stand up for what's right, God will bless us, and we'll see lives change. And I believe we can even see society radically impacted. I believe it can happen. I read an article last hour about the pro-life movement, that it keeps getting so much more support from young people, that some key pro-abortion people are resigning from their positions because of what's happening. The tide can turn, but it will take the grace and power of God. Okay, I think you realize now that there's a reason we've been sounding the alarm. My book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, might be the most eye-opening book you ever read in your life. With postage, it's 700-page hardcover. With postage, it's over $30, but what we're doing this week, we're paying the postage on the book, and for just $30, we're including two copies of the 64-page paperback, A Stealth Agenda, which takes four of the key chapters of the book and condenses them, so you've got a fabulous tool to give out. So the book plus two paperbacks, $30, postage paid. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. 278-9978, or go to askdrbrown.org. Click on the online bookstore, and it'll be right there. You can order online. Much more to come. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, I got a call last week that was really classic. I mean, it was really a classic call. And people have actually been talking to me about the call. And so, Sophie, if you're listening, yeah, you were the one. You were the one that triggered such a discussion and people talking about your call. I still want to send you some material that'll answer some of your questions. I know you wouldn't take it last week, but we're going to play a clip from Sophie's call because there is a growing sentiment that basically says, it's a shame that the marriage amendment passed in North Carolina. It's because there are not enough intelligent parts of the state. Oh, I actually have a quote from a gay activist who says that directly, there are not enough intelligent parts of the state. The intelligent ones, the enlightened ones, the elites, they got this correct. They understood that romantic attraction and sexual desire were the same as skin color. They understood that there's no difference between two moms and a mom and a dad. They understood that kids don't need a mom and a dad. They got it right. The backwards bigots got it wrong. Really, it's a shame we even get to vote, because if we could just leave things to the elites, things would be so, so much better. If you have not read my article on Town Hall, go there today, townhall.com, the embarrassed elites of North Carolina. And hopefully I'll have one or two more articles dealing with these subjects coming out this week. Alex, let's play clip number three. This is last week, the call from UNC student Sophie right here in North Carolina.
Well, this just shows the downfall of direct democracy. I mean, sometimes I think that some things really should be left to the people who understand the consequences of the law. And I think a lot of political, almost every person who's high up in the North Carolina government has voiced their thoughts against this amendment, including the former Democrat and Republican mayor of Charlotte.
So, Sophie, I think you got it now. We just need the smart people, the educated people who think like you, to take control and to weed out these bigoted backwoods Bible preachers like me, and America will be a better place. Why don't you just say it?
I think that if people understood the consequences of the amendment,
But we do. So, Sophie, we do. We do. That's why we voted for it overwhelmingly, because we do understand. All right. So that's the failure of democracy. And for folks who just tuned in, the governor of North Carolina is so embarrassed to be the governor. I mean, it's the people of North Carolina who voted for her. And that got her elected. Now she's not happy with her own constituency. And she says this. She says, people around the country are watching us and they're really confused. They've been such a progressive, forward-thinking, economically driven state that invested in education, that stood up for the civil rights of people, including the civil rights marches back in the 50s and 60s and 70s. Folks are saying, what in the world is going on in North Carolina? We look like Mississippi. People in Mississippi probably don't even know how to spell the name of their state. People in Mississippi probably don't even know that anyone's lived since King James because they're so backwards. People in Mississippi, they probably still wish they could have slavery because they still believe in that. Now North Carolina's like that. Can you believe the bigotry in that statement? Can you believe the elitism in that statement? I understand why some people voted for the marriage amendment. I have profound differences with them, but that's what happens with our democratic voting. And we have the right to vote. We have the right to share our ideas in the public place. We have the right to argue for the things that we believe are right and to seek to live them out. I could give you the arguments why people voted against it. I think it was absolutely wrong, but I don't think that they're, well, not backwards bigots, but elitist bigots. All right. Well, we'll be back.
Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to share something with you very quickly, but I think I'm going to take this up more on Wednesday and talk more about separation of church and state issues. But someone posted this on my Facebook page. I'm going to go to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. So my personal Facebook page, long time ago, reached the limit of 5,000 friends. So then we started the Ask Dr. Brown page, which is really where we post all the ministry stuff and update you all the time. So it's a great place for discussion. If you're on Facebook, by all means, like Ask Dr. Brown. It's one word, A-S-K-D-R Brown. So you can get right on the front lines of discussion, interaction there. But this happened to be on my personal page, and it was in discussion of President Obama's views and announcements concerning his desire to see same-sex marriage legalized, and the absolutely horrific statement that the thing at root that we think about, he said, not only Christ sacrificing himself on our behalf, but it's also the golden rule, you know, treat others the way you would want to be treated. So Jesus sacrificing himself on our behalf somehow legitimizes two men having sex? Huh? So a fellow named Colin posted this. You have to leave your stupid religious dogma behind when talking about state and national issues. You're basing your objection to homosexual marriage on the Bible, which would be violating the American principle of separation of church and state, which, of course, is nonsense. And since the United States is a democracy and not a theocracy, we can't base state and national issues on religious dogma of one particular religious ideas on who can get married. Civil rights and liberty, like the right of marry who you love, outweigh your religious bigotry. That's what he posted. And I thought, who in the world is this posting on my personal Facebook page? I don't know most of the people out of the 5,000, but you assume they're with me or else personal friends or whatever. So I click on his profile to see who he is, and he plays guitar in a worship band at a church in Texas. So when I said, is this the view of your church or pastor? He said, I don't have a church or a pastor. When I pursued it further, he said, I don't believe in God, any part of the Bible. I don't believe Jesus existed. I play there because they needed a guitarist. Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that, too. 866-34-TRUTH to the phones. Tom in Jefferson. All right, we lost Tom in Jefferson, Iowa. We've got one line open. Well, we did. Keep trying. Sean in Boulder, Colorado. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Good. Good. Just want to say I was glad to hear some people like you standing up for the word, you know. Just a comment. You know, it is sad that we're allowing all this stuff to go into our societies, you know. And as you know, I was involved in the gay lifestyle, and it's like, and I tell people when I talk to them, and I do it in a loving way, but, you know, it's, a lot of times I'll tell them, you know, statistics too. I said, well, look at the statistics. The men have a life expectancy of, what, 42 years old. The women's 50, 52. They have a high percentage of suicide and, you know, depression and stuff. But, like, this is okay for them to live, you know. I don't know if you had heard. It was about a year or two ago. There was some 11-year-old kid here in Colorado. He had tried to mutilate himself. He's living with two gay women. And, of course, you could imagine why, you know. But yet, this is okay, you know, and he had an abortion. You know, we allowed us, women have a high percentage, same thing, of suicide. You know, they have that cervical cancer. They're more at risk. And
yeah, you know, we're Sean, allowing it. Yeah, the fact is, I don't know what caused the problems for this 11-year-old boy, but it's much more logical to think that a kid will have gender identity issues, gender identity questions when a boy is raised by two moms. It's only natural. And you're not talking a single-parent home where there's just a mom, so there's a recognized deficit. This supposedly is just as good, if not better. Yeah. And while we don't, people will dispute the lifespan statistics that you gave, the one thing that we do know is that God did not design and intend a man to be with a man or a woman to be with a woman. Exactly. Consequently, there are health risks, there are emotional issues, there are consequences because it's not the way God set things up. And Sean, as I remember your story now, since you have come out of homosexuality, you also know there's a lifestyle that many are in, and that even those that would claim to be, say, monogamous, especially the men, are more like Dan Savage and his partner. They say they are monogamish and admit to at least nine sexual encounters they've had outside of each other since they've been, quote, married. You say, okay, this whole thing is getting so twisted that if we don't stand for marriage as we know it and for biblical values, we'll have to apologize to our kids and grandkids. In fact, I think, Sharon, you probably agree, we need to be apologizing to our kids and grandkids right now for the world that they are growing up in. 866-34-TRUTH. Karen in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Oh, aren't you in one of the enlightened areas, Chapel Hill, because that's a university area? Aren't you in part of the enlightened parts of North Carolina, Karen?
Well, I'm supposed to be, but I don't think they would think I'm very enlightened. Dr. Brown, I don't watch television and I don't watch sitcoms. I've never seen Will and Grace. But what I don't understand is how looking to sitcoms and Hollywood to form one's value system, how that equates to wisdom, and how it makes me stupid that I don't adhere to that.
Right. So America has been enlightened by Will and Grace. By the way, I've never seen Will and Grace either. I read up on all these things when I wrote A Queer Thing Happened to America. But I remember a few years ago, I was just watching some cop story, just chilling for a little while. I'd normally be writing, using my computer, and then just chilling for a few minutes. And I said, wait a second. This has all the standard gay activist themes right in here as part of the plot. 1 in 10 is gay. You're born that way. No one can change. It's these religious wackos claim you can change, and they're actually doing it themselves. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. It was just the characters sharing these things incidentally. And then as I began to look more and study more, and you could actually get transcripts that give you the whole shows and the dialogue or sometimes clips on YouTube, it's amazing and mind-boggling. But the idea, I mean, the heart of what you're saying, though, Karen, is that we are the unenlightened ones because we are forming our values based on scriptural principles and consideration of history and consideration of society, whereas the enlightened ones are forming their morals based on glee and Will and Grace. And the vice president of the United States is proclaiming that proudly, that Will and Grace has changed American thinking. And people don't realize they're getting brainwashed by media propaganda. It is mind-boggling, Karen, isn't it?
Well, dare I say, the Word of God does teach us that Satan blinds the minds of those who refuse to believe.
Yes, it's true. If we turn away from one thing, we will turn towards another. And that's why young people in particular, they've been raised in a lot of compromised churches. Often they haven't seen their parents take strong, decisive stands on biblical values and issues. They've heard often a compromised, spineless gospel of tolerance and acceptance. Then they're bombarded by the media, bombarded, I'm sure, far more than we realize. And then they go to school, often subtly or overtly in the education system. They're getting hit with these things from early years on in elementary school. And then they got a gay friend that's a nice kid. You put that all together, and if you don't want to see that kid get married to someone of the same sex, then you're an intolerant bigot. And it's almost like someone comes up to you and says, I'm going to take the watch off your wrist while we talk. I'm a pickpocket. I'm going to take the watch off your wrist. And they go ahead and do it, and we don't even notice it. Because gay activists told us years ago, this is what we're going to do through the media. This is how we're going to do it. And they've done it, and we have been brainwashed. Karen, if we would turn away from that pollution and turn to God and His Word, America would be different. Thank you for the word of sobriety and wisdom. I appreciate it. God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. Lori in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. All right, we lost Lori, but she was not happy with Governor Perdue's comments. Let's go to Lisa in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. I thank you so much for your show and for your enlightenment in all of this. I am a black, educated female, and I do not agree with President Obama nor Vice President Biden at all. I, in the black community, we are very Christian, godly people who do not support this. In most black communities, it's overt. It's just open that's just not something we support.
Yes.
Plus, the Word of God does not support this. And I've been called everything from being a racist.
Hang on, Lisa. What education are you involved with?
I am college educated, I said. I have a college degree.
All right. And did you say that you're an educator?
Yes. Well, I homeschool.
Ah, okay. Wonderful. That is a very serious level of educating and better than I could do. I always marvel at homeschooling moms and what they can pull off. But Lisa, I want you to stay with me through the break. You, as a Black American woman, have been called racist. I mean, where's even the logic in this? Have been called racist because you're not supporting the redefinition of marriage. I also want to ask you, Lisa, when we come back, and Bill, Johnny, stay with us. We'll get to you. I also want to ask you how you feel about gay activists and even the president appealing to the civil rights movement as a parallel to gay activism. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. We are in the middle of an important conversation with Lisa in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Okay, Lisa, you identified yourself as a Black woman, Christian woman. Now, it's one thing if you say Native Americans should all rot. I mean, God forbid anyone ever use those words. If you said all those Asians and Hispanics, they should go back to where they came from. Okay, those are ugly racist comments.
Yes,
but you took exception to two men or two women being married, and people have called you racist?
Yes, that is true. Okay. A homophobic racist.
Okay. The homophobic part, that's the standard thing. But where do they bring the race? What makes you racist? I mean, of course, it's not rational. We understand it's not rational. Okay.
I don't get the pun in all of it, you know. Because I look at them and I said, "Racist! How dare you call me a racist? You are a racist." And the thing about it is, a homosexual can always change the way that they feel about someone of the same sex and be attracted to someone of the opposite sex, regardless of what they say.
Or at the least, they can modify behavior, which every human being can do.
My skin color cannot change.
Nor do you put it on when you go out.
No, I cannot wake up one morning and decide I want to be Asian, or I want to be white, or I want to be some other race and change my skin color. I am who I am. Because God created me who I am.
Right. And when in the days of segregation and other abominable things in our past, you were who you were. In other words, you didn't have to put on a display to show it or dress a certain way. That's who you were. And people were going to discriminate in the ugly past we had over skin color. Whereas if someone's just walking down the street, unless they want to display something, you don't know if the person's gay or straight or whatever. So... And I understand that many gay kids have been bullied in school and some mistreated as adults, but they're not being kidnapped and sold into slavery. They're not being told to drink from gay-only fountains. And in point of fact, gays and lesbians are some of the most influential, prominent people in our country. So the comparison breaks down. Go ahead.
Even in high school, elementary school, there were kids that were bullied. And I was bullied at one time by certain people. Within the school, some that were Black, some that were white. But it wasn't because, I was a homosexual. And some of the people who tried to bully me were of my same skin color.
Right. Right.
So it had nothing to do with orientation at all.
Yeah, in point of fact, bullying is just a big problem with kids. Kids do all kinds of cruel things to each other. And that's what we got to do is teach them bullying is bad as opposed to gay is good. Hey, Lisa, may the Lord bless you as you stand for righteousness and truth in the midst of your community as you raise your kids in a godly way. Thank you for calling. All right, got time for a couple more calls. Johnny in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, my name is Johnny.
Yes, Johnny, go ahead.
Winston-Salem.
Yes.
And I'm calling, I voted for the amendment, but I have a question. And I hope you can help me. I've been asking a lot of people. I've even asked pastors. don't see anywhere in the scriptures where it say you do have to have a piece of paper to be married.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that marriage, God is the creator of marriage, and he made them male and female.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think, I know at one time it came up about the gays and lesbians, what they want really is the civil part of what married people have, benefits and all those kind of things. But we harp so much on a piece of paper that they want a piece of paper thinking that would make them married. But the reality of the fact is they can never be married. I have a Mini Cooper. If somebody else has a Honda Civic, I could put all my Mini Cooper parts on their Honda Civic, but it won't make it a Mini because the maker didn't make it a Mini Cooper.
Exactly.
God said marriage is a man and a woman, and God sanctified the union. So it doesn't matter how many pieces of paper that they get.
Yes.
They're only saying that they're married because for so long, that's what we hopped on, saying that you got to have a piece of paper. Yeah. You got to have a piece of paper.
Yeah,
but
and Johnny just
is a man and a woman.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me just jump in, only because we're short on time, and I want to try to answer. Of course, what you're saying is absolutely right. There are a few things. No one is stopping two men or two women from going to some local gay church or some liberal church that affirms them and having a blessing ceremony. And no one's stopping them from doing that. So it is the civil acceptance. And what they're saying is this, that there are benefits that are conveyed on marriage. And since they're committed couples, they should have those benefits. No, the only reason the government gets involved in marriage, the only reason is because marriage conveys benefits on the society, so the society conveys benefits on marriage. And those benefits come when a man and woman come together and, as a rule, can procreate, have a family, and join the kids with a mom and dad. So that's the only reason the government gets involved. But here's the other bigger thing, Johnny. It has to do with legitimizing, that they want this legitimized in the eyes of society, which then becomes the entryway for all other aspects of homosexual activism.
Right.
In other words, this is now taught in the schools. And if you don't agree with this, now you're a bigot because you're opposing the law. So this is the entry point. It's not just legitimizing, because even if same-sex marriage, it's not really marriage, but marriage was redefined tomorrow. Even if it was redefined tomorrow, you'd only have a small percentage of homosexuals who actually go ahead with it. This is activist-driven. More than anything, it's about societal acceptance, societal endorsement. That's why they're pushing for it. Now, I'm sure some are very sincere and say, you're married and I want to be married. But what we have to tell them with love and maybe tears in our eyes is this is not marriage. This is not what God created. And your Mini Cooper Honda analogy is right. Hey, Johnny, I've got to run, but thanks for weighing in. It has to do again with societal acceptance. By the way, anytime as we run out of time to take callers, which frequently happens, just a reminder, you can communicate at our website. That's what it's there for. AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire, and you can weigh in at length. You can put 50 comments if you want right there and get into healthy discussions with others about the radio broadcast. All right. How can I emphasize strongly enough the importance of everyone having in their house, in their hands, a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America? No one is going to tell me now this is not massively relevant for every believing home in America. A Queer Thing Happened to America is $27.99 plus postage. It's 700-page hardcover. What we're doing is this. We're paying the postage on the book, and for just $30, you're getting the book plus two copies of A Stealth Agenda. That's a 64-page paperback condensing four of the key chapters. So you get the book and then have these wonderful tools to give out to others. They can read it, have their eyes open. So call today to take advantage of this. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978 or online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. My bottom line today, we must go back to the foundations. We must relay the foundations as God established them in the beginning. It's the hope of our families. It's the hope of the nation.